Good God. And you know, there are a lot of fads and fashions and things that come and go. And I guess we all have experienced that. I remember, at least in my part of the country, when people first started getting automatic washers. And you'd hear the ladies talking, and they said, "I wouldn't have one because they won't get your clothes clean." And they ran those old Maytags and run them through the wringer and put them in a tub. There's probably a few of you here that remember those days. And they just wouldn't have it because they didn't feel like they got your clothes clean. But I doubt you can find a home in America today if they've got a washing machine, that's the kind it is. So there's a lot of things that come and go and change. But I'm not from a Pentecostal family, and I think probably a lot of you already know that. But I got the Holy Ghost 43 years ago. And people on every hand said it won't work. It's just a notion of a child in a broken family. And it won't last. But I can stand here before you today and say there have been some down times. But those times were my fault. But not one day have I ever regretted the decision to be baptized in Jesus' name and receive the Holy Ghost. Because in a changing world, we have a solid rock that we can stand on today. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. I don't have to worry when I get up in the morning wondering what God's going to be like today. He's going to be the same. Now, His reaction to me may be different because of my actions and my attitude, but I know that if I get back on track, He's going to be just the same. His very essence and His substance is love. And it matters not what we are, where we're going, or what we're doing today. You can rest assured that God loves you. He never fails. I thought just the last 3 weeks we've had a tragedy in our family. We lost a little twin grandsons, and it was sad. And it's quite a crowd that came to the funeral. And I opened the service with this. I said, everybody's got the same question in your mind that I do. Why? And guess what? I don't have the answer. But I can endure this because I know personally the one that does know why. And I also know that He never makes a mistake. Now, you may think He did, but God has never said, "Oops," the first time. God's never said, "I didn't know that." I'll tell you what, God today can see the end from the beginning. And He's ordained a plan. He's a sovereign God. He can save who He wants to and reject who He wants to. But I want to pray for that or bring another point with that. God made the choice of giving us the deciding vote. He said, "Whosoever will." He said He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. If anybody goes to hell, it'll be because that they refuse the extension of God's mercy, because God wants us to be saved. And I'm certainly happy to be here. And you know, sometimes pastors worry when their people are out of town, because it's a different thing when they're on vacation than it is when they're at home. But I don't ski for obvious reasons. If you look at me, I've been with them a few times and cook for them. But I'm always pleased when they're going to go on vacation when they come to Colorado to ski, because I tell them about this church. And they've always come back with good report. And then, of course, last year I made my first experience here. And this meeting is just a wonderful meeting. Such balance and such certainty and such great doctrine, such good preaching. And, you know, the Hamans have class. This church has got class. And I know that that takes work. And I really do appreciate it. And I appreciate the standard of holiness. You don't see that everywhere you go, but I still believe it works today. And so I'm glad that the Lord let me be here today. And after all we've already heard, I don't know how in the world, you know, that I can preach anything that can touch you, but I do appreciate being asked to say something for God. And I hope that maybe I can drop a little nugget that'll help somebody to make up their mind to go all the way. Shouldn't be any question. I remember when I was just a teenager, I preached a revival in a church, and you know, that's been a while ago. You see stuff like this all the time now. But the pastor asked his 9-year-old son every night, "Are you going to church tonight?" And they weren't supposed to have it, but they had a television in their house. And if something was on the boy wanted to watch or a ball game he wanted to go to, he didn't even go to church. But I think it should be no option when it's church time, we just go to church. That's how you do it. That's what you do. And somebody said, well, I don't feel like it. And I know you can get incapacitated to where you can't. But I went through a year's very serious illness. I almost died, in fact. And I couldn't even button my shirt. But the brethren of the church came, put me in a wheelchair, and rolled me to the church. And when I testified, they had to hold me up. I couldn't even stand under my own power. But I'm coming back strong today. But church is what it's all about. Don't stay home to try to work out your problem. This is the place to do it. When you get an empty gas tank, you find the gas station. You may make it by walking down the road and getting a gas can and bringing it back, but it's so much easier to just pull your car in where they do that all the time. This is the hospital for the soul. This is the place that you can receive the touch that you need. I love God, don't you? Praise God. We want to go for a few minutes. I know Brother Ralph's got to preach, and I'll try to be mindful of that. But I want to go to to 1 John chapter 3. And I want to read verses 20 through 24. 1 John chapter 3, beginning at verse number 20. John had this to say. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things which are pleasing in His sight.
Right.
And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandments. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. Let us pray. God of heaven, we love You today. Thank You for Your presence. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your mercy. God, we just thank You for being who You are today. Oh, God, we know that in the scheme of things You could have done it another way, but You smiled on us, gave us this great truth of the mighty God in Christ in the filling of the Holy Ghost. My God, You put our foot in the house of God and set us on a straight path that Job said the vulture's eyes never seen and no fowl knoweth. Thank God today, Lord, that You gave us this great plan. Touch us, we pray. Send an anointing of the Spirit, God. Anoint the lips of clay today in Jesus' name. Praise God, praise God, praise God. You may be seated. I want to call your attention to verse 22. How many like for God to answer? You know, I know how it is. You can't take pain, and when you get to hurting and suffering, it's probably in your head. But when it hits me, it's real. And I want God right now. And we're all that way. But John said in verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things which are pleasing in His sight. I want to speak to you for a few minutes today from this thought on the unwritten will of God. Now, I know that people come up with a lot of notions. There's a lot of people that think that you can pray long enough that you can pray over sin and not repent of it. You can't do it. There's lots of folks trying it. There's people today that try to compensate for the sin in their life by doing something else that would be beneficial to God. You don't trade off. The only option that God leaves for a man and a woman today where sin is involved is to repent and make an about face and quit and start being submissive and obedient to God. The only way that God will accept our attitude and our action toward His commandments is that we keep them. It may not seem fair, But I want to tell you folks today that hair is not always fun. Hair is not always feel good at the moment. But God's Word today is forever settled in heaven. I'm telling you, we're living in a day that people think that the preacher can do magic and say, well, we know what the Bible said, but my pastor said that it's okay. My pastor says that you can be baptized either way if that's all you know. But folks, we don't have that kind of authority. I know the Catholic Church teaches that, but it's false. Psalms 119 and 11, the Bible said this. Psalm 119, verse 11, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. We're going to drop down to verse number 89. The Word of God today is essential. Psalm 119, 89 says, Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. You see the bumper sticker that says, Jesus said it, I believe it, and that settles it. That's false. Jesus said it. It's settled, and I hope that I believe it. Has nothing to do with whether I accept it or not. That is settled. It is forever settled in heaven. Matthew chapter 5, verse 18 says this. Jesus made it very clear as to His stance concerning the Word of God. In Matthew 5, verse 18. We read these words, For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. I'm telling you, God's Word is so sacred that the original punctuation is inspired. People say, well, you know, the Bible contains the Word of God. That is a deceptive statement. It does not contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. You see, if it only contains the Word of God, then it makes it subjective on our part to decide what's right and what's wrong. God's Word is settled. Jesus did a lot of things in His ministry. But I suppose the last real action that He took with His disciples is found in Luke 24, verse 45. Luke 24, 45, the Bible says, Then He opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. I'm telling you, folks, we need a revelation of Jesus. We need a revelation of the plan of God. We're living in a time that the church is being tested. I can remember when you were a tongue talker that it meant something, but now they're saying tongues over their beads while they count them. That's not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will lead you and guide you into all truth. Jesus said, even the Spirit of truth that the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not and neither knoweth Him. So God's Word is settled. Doesn't matter what we feel. Doesn't matter about the dream we had last night. Doesn't matter about the revelation we think we got on the way to church today. If our revelation and our idea does not measure up to what the Word of God says, it's not of God. In John 4 and verse 24. Now Jesus was talking to the woman at the well. And she was a bit mixed up. There's word about the place they were going to worship. And a whole lot of things. But Jesus really brought out what I'm talking about today. He said, God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. I want you to know today that revelation and spiritual planes work hand in hand. It's not the spirit if it doesn't measure up to truth.
And if it is truth and truth is believed, then truth will bring the promised results that the Bible said. People say, "Preacher, how do you know that the Bible's true?" Well, I tell you what settles it in my mind is this. I've seen hundreds of people in the last 43 years that came to an altar crying and shedding tears, repented of their sin, and never had been in church before. They weren't raised in it. But I saw them come out of the water speaking with other tongues just like they did on the day of Pentecost. That's how I know it works. You can let the boat pass you by trying to figure out everything. I've been in school nearly all my life. And still, as one fellow said, it doesn't make sense to me that you can take a black cow and let him eat green grass and milk him and milk her and get white milk and churn it and make yellow butter. But it works. So, God's truth is right.
Yes, sir.
The Bible is right. But there's something today to be said about the personal experience that you and I have with God. We are accused of legalism, and sometimes I think that some of us have been guilty of legalism. Just the letter, there's no feeling, no dedication, and no consecration, nothing to help us to enjoy what we've got. But you know the story well. In the 10th chapter of Acts, there was a Gentile, and I want you to know up until this time, nobody was sending missionaries to the Gentiles. But a man could see with his eyes something that really intrigued him. He was over 100 men, a Gentile. Nobody says, "Hey, we let Gentiles come to our assembly." In fact, their leader had a hard time accepting it. But this man looked at something that he didn't know was in the Bible. He didn't know. He couldn't turn and read it like we can. But he said, "I see that those Jews that pray, something happened. So I think I'll pray and just go ahead and do it." He said, "I know that they're tithers and they give and they're blessed, and so I'm going to emulate what they do and give." Somebody said that had nothing to do with it. But I want you to know that it had everything to do with it. The angel of God said, "Cornelius, your prayers and your alms have come up as a memorial before God." He gathered everybody together. And when the apostles came and began to preach, the Bible said the Holy Ghost fell on them just like it did us at the beginning. What about this unwritten will? Now, I used to understand it when I was a boy, and people today that want to do wrong come up with this. Somebody that wants to commit adultery says, "Well, I don't see how anything that good could be so wrong." They even write songs about it. But God's way is not just the best way, it's the only way. But I used to wonder, if God has all the power that He's got, why in the world does He let all this stuff go on? Why couldn't He stop it? But you know, I feel like I've got a revelation on it. God could have made robots out of us, but He didn't want that. In fact, He made the statement and said, "The cattle on 1,000 hills belong to Me." And he said, "I want you to know that all the beasts of the field are Mine. And if I was hungry, I wouldn't even be hunting you up. I can do it without you." But you see, God has set some things in motion that makes Him receive what He could not create. That is voluntary love. He set it up, and until you have a choice, then you have no way to know the test of the faith. I'm sure you've seen the little poster that said, "If you love something, turn it loose. If it comes back, it's yours. If it does not, it never was." Our God today gives us a choice, and we make that choice based on our dedication to Him.
Thank you, Lord.
Hebrews 10:23. You see, He has some commands. He said, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering."
For he is faithful that promised. Now let's read on. He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Let's try to exceed what we've been told. And then he goes on as we read on. He said this, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The scripture does not say you need 3 revivals a year. It's just not there. But when we feel the heartbeat and the mind of God, somebody said, well, the preacher has too many revivals. And he didn't have my preacher. I'm telling you today, you need to get behind your man of God. And you need to understand that he has the heartbeat of God. And when he feels something in the Holy Ghost, it's time for us to activate ourselves. Hey, folks, we need to do it more. How much more? I don't know. Because God wants us. We do know enough that it says to lay aside on the first day of the week as God has prospered us. But he said, do it some more. Something that we dedicate, something that we consecrate unto them and to the church and to God himself. And in our text it says that we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. Some things he hadn't said. And we're going to have to be spiritual enough to understand God likes this. And because God does like this, I'm going to do this. People that's trying to live for God, and they come and they want you to show them a scripture that says word for word. That's a bad attitude to have. You need to see if it works. And we have so much that no generation before us has ever had. A lot of people were just in the early days of the 1900s. They just had to experiment other than the real message of the Word of God to see what does God like. What style of music does He honor? What takes place at church that is pleasing to the Lord? And that's why we need leadership. You see, if it was all just the written Word, we could just buy you a Bible and we would be unemployed today. But God is a living, activating God. Not extending the revelation of the written Word, but there is an unseen dedication that we have that can move the mind and the will of God. I always have a problem with people that make $957 and they pay $9.57 and they write their check that way. Malachi 3:10. Now see, you say, well, boy, I've really done something. I've given my tithe. That already belonged to God. That is not an option. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. There are people that lay their hand on the radio and write the check and send it to the radio preacher. If he's preaching the truth, you want to give him an offering. That's one thing. But God never told you to send your tithes anywhere. He said, bring them to the storehouse. Those guys won't bury your dead and preach your weddings and come to the hospital and visit you, but you'd be shocked at the folks that say, well, you know, I'm afraid the preacher will get too much. Well, I'll tell you a good rule of thumb. When the devil gets to telling you the preacher's got too much and I'm not going to put all my tithe in their care, and you start thinking that you're going to rewrite the Word of God, you need to guess again. And if you want to be fair, then you go back from the time they started and pay them a decent wage from then to now, and you'll find out you're a whole lot better off just paying your tithes like the Bible said. He said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now here with, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Some of us have stuck windows. But I want you to notice that God said, you have robbed me in tithes and offerings. That's unwritten. Who's to say how much? I know a lot of people have tried to interpret that, but you can't. Because even in our giving, God has the element of dedication
and consecration to Him. When we look at the requirements, the commandment is to tithe. The offering is the unwritten will of God, or it's the thing that's pleasing in His sight. You know, we preach and said, well, give and expect nothing in return. That's not Scripture. It said, give and it shall be given unto you. You have every right to expect it. That's like telling folks, come and get anointed and prayed for, but don't expect to be healed. You need to understand and know that if you give to God from the depths of your heart and there's no reservation, that God keeps a record of it and God is touched by it, because we went beyond the exact commandment and we said, I'll do it. Not just money. You know, a lot of people, I heard somebody say, it wasn't at our place, that they was cleaning the school one time and the Christian school was all messed up. And she said she was sweeping and fussing. Said they don't want no school. We'll just, well, close it. And just sweeping and fussing. How many ever did that? You might not have sweeped. Maybe mowing the yard, locking the door. If they had to stay up here and lock the door like I do, they wouldn't stay. They'd get out here so we can lock it up. And the Lord spoke to her. He said, if you don't want the blessing, go ahead and fuss. She said, if nobody else wants it, I do. And I'm going to do it for you. You know what? No matter what it is, no matter how minor it is, as a saint or a minister, when you're doing things, if you can really get it in your heart, I am doing this for God. It's not contingent on the one sitting in the pew in front of me or behind me. I'm not doing this to impress anybody else. You see, a lot of people are willing to give their life just to impress somebody else. But oh God, what we need this afternoon is to impress God. And if what you do is a sacrifice, it may be hard on your flesh, but God is keeping a record of His unseen will, and He sees that dedication as a consecration. This is why 2 Corinthians 9:6. Let's read this. 2 Corinthians 9:6. But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Now what are you talking about? Not the tithe. This is what is left up to us. Because see, this way, God can receive homage that He did not make us do as a robot. If you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And let's read on. Next verse. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. The word cheerful here in the Greek means hilarious, shouting, happy, enthused over it. Willing to celebrate because of the privilege. Don't you sit on a pew and say, I know why they're putting him up. They're getting ready to take an offering. What's really happening, we're getting ready to receive an offering from people who want to sow bountifully to God. When you sow that seed, you put a corn of just one grain of corn in the ground, and if it's at least a bit healthy, it's going to have at least 2 ears loaded down with what you put in the ground. And on some occasions, the stalk will have as many as 3 ears. It's just a law of the harvest that God puts forth. And if we could get a picture of this today and understand, God, I know you told me to tithe, but I'm going to do more than tithe. When the preacher says we've got a need, I'm going to do my best to do my part. Somebody said, well, this scripture saying that the rich guy that gives $1,000 is going to be blessed. Oh no, the Bible said that Jesus stood over against the treasury. And I'm here to tell you, we're having a great time today, but Jesus is standing in this service this afternoon, and He's judging us by what we do from our heart and what we've got left. The rogue Pharisees blew their horn. Said, look what we're giving. And they didn't give enough from their bank account to even miss. But this little widow, she was probably ashamed, embarrassed, because that's all she had.
And she slipped around and dropped in that little bit. And Jesus said, "Hey, it's time to preach." He said, "Guess what, fellas? This woman gave more than everybody here." Brother Shea, what are you trying to say? I'm saying that nobody stood. The Scripture didn't say. Jesus didn't tell that woman, "Come and give everything that you got." But she felt a nudge in her spirit and felt a love for the things of God. And she did it from her heart. And it moved God. We want God to hear us. We want God's attention this afternoon. Well, He's looking at dedication and consecration. He's looking for the love that comes from our inner spirit to Him today. When you look at Genesis chapter 4, story is told of Cain and Abel, and I've looked it over. I can't find a scripture where it said, "I want a blood sacrifice." And when you really look at it, it makes common sense, because Abel raised cattle and Cain raised plants. And I can't find in my study that Cain brought God bruised tomatoes or bruised apples. And I realize that probably didn't have that. He may have brought the best plants that he had. And I know some say, "Well, it never was meant for him to be saved." God reached for Cain. You hear me? Whenever he gave that offering and brought it to God, God had recompensed the Abels. And oh, he was mad and he was upset. And he was beside himself. But God preached to him what I'm telling you today. He said, "Cain, if you'll do well, you'll prosper. Look around you and see what works. And emulate that. Take that basket full of plants and trade it to your brother. And get a sheep. And then you will be accepted too." Listen, some folks don't have a clue. They think they have the gift of suspicion. They don't like what's going on in church. But we need to understand that God is looking for dedication and consecration in the service, and it's as important to us as individuals to catch on to what He wants. Not just His commandments, but the things that are pleasing in His sight. Cain missed it. And you look in the 24th chapter of Genesis. Very familiar text to oneness folks. But Abraham said, I got to have a bride for my Isaac. And he sent a servant. Said, "Just go down there and pick one out and bring her back." Well, he got to looking. Bible said that he got to the well and all the fair maidens were coming. He said, "Now how in the world am I going to work this out?" He said, "I'll tell you what, God, as a sign to me, I'm going to ask these ladies as they come to the well to give me a drink. And the one you really want, let her say that she'll water my camels also." Now you got to understand, he had, as far as I know, 10 camels. And some of the writers say it one way and some another, but on the conservative side, we're talking about 30 gallons of hand-drawn water. So Rebecca came along, and he said, "Would you give me a drink?" And she said, "Yes, and I can see from your travels that your camels need a drink, and while you're drinking, I'll water the camels." And she did. What she didn't know was the blessings were hidden inside the sack. And when we go to church, instead of you thinking, "Oh, that's just Don again," or, "You know, I don't know if his daddy were even like that," and we try to sit and analyze. If you were smart enough to be doing it, you'd be the pastor instead of where you're sitting. God wants us to be pliable to what we cannot see as His will. Somebody said that was unfair to Rebecca. No, no. God is really putting an importance on us having the right spirit and the right attitude. And she had it. And He said, "Hey, guess what? What you didn't know is I've got gifts to give you. You're going to the top. You're going to be in the lineage of Jesus Christ's ancestors. Because you were humble enough and had enough insight to find what you wasn't commanded to do.
Amen, amen.
We look at the opposite of this. I think it's already been referred to in this meeting. But Balaam had a commandment from God. And he just kept pushing the issue. And God said, go on. And you know, sometimes people see what they want to see. And he couldn't curse them. And the more he did, the madder they got. So he figured out a way. He said, if you'll send your sons down there and let them marry their daughters and mix it up and mess it up, then God will curse them. And that's what happened. I'm going to tell you, some folks, you know, they try to go in the back door with everything. You can go to these ladies' meetings and find out how to put your hair up where it looks like it's been cut. Why would you want to do that? I'll tell you what, it's a kissing cousin too. You'll be cutting it. It's still wrong for ladies to trim their hair. And a little deal of getting a wad of it around here and burning it off with a match is the same thing. He said, look, just mix it up and mess it up. But I want to read this, Numbers 31, verse 8. See, some folks try to work the system. They'll tell their children, now if you do that, be sure and don't let the pastor find it out. And they'll cover it up and hide it. And then when they get in trouble, oh, bless God, I raised them in church. I don't know why I do. There was no one on this earth they had any confidence in because you ate the preacher and the Christian school teacher for breakfast, dinner, and supper. You need to say, look, we don't understand everything, but this leader is road tested. He's tried. He's proven. And we're going to do what the preacher says. He said, mix it up. Mess it up. But look what the end result was. And they slew the kings of Midian beside the rest of them that were slain, namely Evi and Rechem and Zur and Hur and Reba, five kings of Midian. Balaam also, the son of Beor, they slew with the sword, the product of his resistance to the will of God, the product of him not fully obeying the Spirit of the Lord, the product of trying to see how close to the outside he could live. That product came back to bite him and take his life. God's got a will for us today. And it's very essential. People say, well, I don't believe in standards. Well, I do. And I don't know whether you like this or believe it or not, but no preacher has the heartbeat of this church except the Hamans. I love this church, and if I lived in Denver, this is where I'd go. But there's certain things about the personality of this church and certain things that in the inner workings of this church that I won't ever know because I'm not the leader. We're in error when we say, well, what about the church across the street? They don't have to do this. And the devil formulates it in our mind that this is just some preacher's idea that wants to make life hard for us. Untrue. But they've got the heartbeat of the Spirit. And you know, we need to thank God for a broken foot. Somebody said, I don't know why God had to slap me around trying to keep from killing you. That's why. There's an unwritten will. You know, they were in trouble, surrounded, looked like they were going to die from starvation. And the thing to do was be real quiet and be real still and ration the water. And the preacher comes out and says, look, said, what we need to do, this is a desert. We need to dig a whole valley full of ditches. Can't you just hear some of the crowd saying, well, you're nuts, man. These people are famished without water. If they go out in the desert and dig ditches, and they're already dehydrated, they're going to die. That makes no sense. What we need to do is find a place that's likely we're going to do it and dig a well. But God said a ditch.
God told the prophet, dig ditches. Somebody said, this makes no sense. The reason things make no sense to you and I is because we don't see the end result of the thing. God knew that He was going to fill every ditch with water. God knew that the opposite side of that blessing was going to be to terrify His enemies. It's important that you know as a saint and as a preacher today that God has some things that you can't find written in the Scripture that He wants done. And we need to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost and get in on it. People say, well, I'm not that dumb. You're very dumb. Daniel Webster was given a banquet in his honor. 25 world leaders attended it. And I suppose he's credited with being the smartest man as far as word study in history. But listen to this. They thought he was going to say something profound, and he did. The greatest thought that ever entered my mind was the thought of my responsibility to God. You talk about bush bashing. If that was today, he'd probably be on the back page of the paper. But he had the key. Your greatest responsibility is not whether you're going to get a new car this year. It's not whether you're going to be able to kill a deer when you go hunting. But your greatest responsibility is your responsibility to God. That needs to be our top priority.
Amen.
It won't work to try it other ways. All of us have heard of Edgar Allan Poe. He was educated in England. He attended private schools, had tutors. He was famous as an author, a poet, and an editor. But you know what? He turned the other way from God. He lost his wife to TB, turned to alcohol, drugs, occult, Satanism, and finally died in the street in an unconscious state, a pauper and lost. We need to be sensitive to God's will. I'm sure you've heard the story of the man that toured the factory and they were showing him this cutting torch where they could cut through pipes just like butter. But they came across one that the flame would not cut, wouldn't even put a dent in it. And he said, why is this? And he said, the pipe's rusty and that rust prevents it from working. We need to be tender. I'm telling you that we had a move of God around here ever since this meeting started.
Thank you, Lord.
Things and decisions are made in the altars and in the worship. And you know, that should be the result of us hearing what we've been preached to and what we've been ministered to. If we're rusty today, we need to clean the rust off so that the Word of God can penetrate us. I get upset when people are anointed and preaching and people are showing pictures and visiting and talking about other things that have nothing to do with the service. I don't know about you, but I get upset when I preach my guts out to people and a saint will hand a sinner that's under conviction their baby to take care of when it comes off the service. We need to get in tune with the Spirit today. I don't have a scripture for that, but I just know by experience that God likes for us to dedicate to Him and create a place where people can't resist it. I believe we can come to the place that they'll either have to pray or run. I want to find out what His commandment is. But I also want to be spiritual enough to be in tune with what the things are that are pleasing in His sight. I want to be spiritual enough to say, you know, God really doesn't like that. I don't think I'll do that. I want to be spiritual enough that I can say, you know, God honors that. I'm going to get in on that. And that's what we need to do. Follow your leader today. God's going to require of us that we do what we need to do. So not only the commandment, but the unwritten will of God today.